Okay, I want to read from Psalm 21, and I'll use 11 verses. And then there's one verse I want to read. It's the 22nd verse. It's pretty important. So we'll begin with the first verse. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of the disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" You know, after all that Jesus was doing, how could they come up with a question like this? Who is this? The crowds answered. Well, there was those that answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee." Amen. Yep. Watch it, Ron. The Lord has need of you. How many of us think about that? That the Lord has need of us. It's always we need him. There's something we want. But the Lord has need of us. "A little in the hands of the master is much." I know there are people when you say that, "The Lord has need of you," they'll say, "Well, I don't have very much. I can't do very much." Well, anything that's in the hand of the master, he sure can multiply it and make it of real value. The man who owned the donkey and the colt had probably no idea of the great impact of his willingness to give his beast for use to Jesus. Just think of that. All these generations that have passed, people hear about this man. We don't even know his name. But God knows who he is because he gave what he could give. If he had a willing to, you know, to give his beast to Jesus. If he didn't know, if he knew what he was really doing, It would have been because of Zechariah 9:9. He may have read this and knew this. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So that man may have read this and knew what he was doing, but maybe not. But all these generations of past, and we know about this man who was willing to give to the Lord what he needed that day. So the statement was made, the Lord has need of them. It seemed strange as I was preparing this to hear the Creator saying he has need of what we have. It's the other way. But there are times when he does need us, and we need to do whatever he calls us to do, because it will impact the world. The correct response is that we give immediately to his request. When he asks us something, we need to do it immediately. Max Lucado, in a Lenten devotional, said, when we get to heaven, I want to meet the guy with the donkey. That's gonna be interesting. Max Lucado is that kind of person. I haven't read anything of his lately, but he's a good man, a good writer. And now when we get to heaven and meet that guy, there might be some questions that we would have. Number one, how did you know it was Jesus who needed a donkey? He was there. He must have known. And he provided the donkey. Number two, how did it feel to look out and see Jesus on the back of the donkey that lived in your barn? How about that? That man would really be rejoicing as time passed to know that it was his donkey from his barn that Jesus used on that day. Would you be proud if that happened to you? That it was your donkey from your barn that Jesus used that day. Would we be annoyed that Jesus asked for our donkey that day? Would we be annoyed? Were you aware that all four gospel writers would tell your story? This man had no idea. All four of the gospels would record this story of this man who gave his donkey that Jesus could ride triumphantly into Jerusalem. I wonder if it was difficult to give something to Jesus for him to use. I wonder how the man felt about giving his donkey that day. Sometimes when God wants something, I act like I don't know what he needs it. No, he needs it. That's a response that many of us have, and I have that kind of response sometimes. Well, why does he need it? He's got everything. He's the Creator. He's got everything. Why is he asking me for something? I'd find a good excuse, probably, not to do it. There are other times when I feel bad because I missed a good opportunity to advance Jesus' ministry in the world. How many times have I passed up good opportunities that I could have been a part of his ministry? Do you ever think about that? Of being a part of his ministry in the world? And boy, it is really needed, as the pastor was saying, the way our world has become. I mean, when you watch the news, shootings, just every day, it's such a common thing that we don't give it a lot of thought. There was a shouting, praising multitude. On this triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus was being praised. There were so many times he was not praised. And the Pharisees, isn't it something? The Pharisees, the so-called religious leaders, are the ones that gave him the most trouble. Instead of praising him, they were looking some way to find fault with him. Throughout the 3 years of ministry, Jesus lacked this kind of praise and adoration. For 3 years, he was ministering. People were being healed, all those things. Not much praise. But on this particular day, he was being praised and he was being adored. So thank the Lord for Palm Sunday. On Good Friday, to illustrate what I'm saying here, they mocked Jesus, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," making fun of him. They spat on him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And they placed the crown of thorns upon his head. All of this to show not love, adoration, praise, but contempt. Contempt upon Jesus, the Son of God. On the day of this triumphal entry, and that's what we're celebrating on this day, Palm Sunday. Triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The multitude shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." That's what they shouted. In Luke's account on this day, only the Pharisees spoiled the day by saying, you know, isn't it just like the Pharisees? So-called spiritual leaders. And this is what they said to the multitude as they were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." They said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, tell them to be quiet. Jesus said, "I tell you that if these should be silent, the stones would immediately cry out." And they would have. because it was Jesus' day to receive praise, adoration, all those things that he had missed so many times. And then Jesus responds, knowing what was to come. In Luke 19, verse 41, Jesus saw the city and he wept over it because he knew what was coming to Jerusalem. These people had no idea of the importance of their acknowledgement of him as their Messiah. He was their Messiah. And they're not recognizing. They're not praising him, not adoring him as they should have. Special days can be missed when we are ignorant of their importance. How many special days in our lives have we missed because we didn't know how important the day was? Because sometimes we celebrate a day when we do recognize it, and something happens that we never get to celebrate it again. You ever think of that? So we have to take advantage of the important special days. In Matthew 23, verses 37-38, Jesus warned what would happen to those who would mock on this day instead of praising. And this is what the word said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Just think of Jerusalem and the area and how many times Jesus was there and meeting all kind of needs. And then the word had to say that they were the people that killed the prophets, even stoned the ones that were sent to them to tell them about a Messiah. And so the word says, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They missed it. And there would be that time when they could say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord has need of you. We need to get back to that. The Lord needs every one of us. And we can always come up with some kind of an excuse. He doesn't really need me. The pastor will do it. Maybe the pastor's wife. Or maybe a good layman. But I'm not fit to do anything. Not true. There's something that every one of us can do. And that's why the word is saying the Lord has need of you. No matter how insufficient you may feel you are. And that's one of the first excuses. I'm thinking back to when I was called into ministry. I was not a good student when I was in school. And when I received the call, I thought, Lord, you really don't want me. There's not anything I can say or do that will really advance your kingdom. I told the Lord a lie because he knew exactly what he had created and what he could do through me. Emma and I spent 52 years in the ministry, and I guess we could write a book about some of the lives we have touched. And every once in a while, we talk about some of the people that we have met. We have met so many wonderful people over the years. Just fantastic. I'm looking back there at Courtney. She's been such a blessing to us. You're laying in there in the room. One little room, and it's not as big as this one. And a little bed that's a little bed. And you're thinking, boy, this is miserable. And about that time, Courtney pops in the door. Would you like a snack? She's always coming with those snacks. And so she just blesses us. So many times we think we're inefficient, but God has something for us to do. Jesus wants you. He wants your life. He wants your time. He wants your talents. And he wants your gifts. Please do not lie to him. He created you. He knows what he can do through you. You can make a big difference. Every one of us can make a big difference. And it's needed. It's needed in our world. This is a messed up world. And it's so messed up that I think we're real close to the Lord's return. So I want to say to you this morning, if you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ, this morning is a good morning. Not hard. Just say, Jesus, be merciful unto me, a sinner, and forgive me. It's taken care of. Just like that. And then you can begin to make a big difference. The man who loaned his donkey and colt to Jesus is now known to all generations. Even though he's not even named in Scripture. Who was it recently said, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to that guy that loaned a colt to Jesus. Somebody I was around. Well, anyway, that man is going to be known throughout all the generations. All he needed to know was that Jesus had need of his donkey and colt. And he was willing to give it. What is the Lord asking you this morning? What do you have that he needs? and that he wants to use. I remember, and I can't remember now how long it was, I pulled into this parking lot one day, and the Lord began to speak to me and said, I'm going to do some powerful things in this place. We've seen some of it, but I think we'd see a whole lot more of it if we had just let ourselves be used. Because he knows your gifts and he knows your talents, knows everything about you. And there's something you can do, and maybe you might even be the person that would spark the revival. How about that? Wouldn't that be fantastic? And throughout the generations, people would still know it was so-and-so that started the revival. I wish it would come to me. Some of the ones in the Eastern keyboard that started the revival that time. Can you think of any of them, Pastor? I'm putting you on a spot. I shouldn't do that. Edwards? Is Edwards one? I'm going in an area and I should have not done that. But I've read about that, of how that revival started along the East Coast. And there were a couple men. The Lord impressed them for revival. And a revival broke out. You may be one of those persons. Right? Yeah, I think it was Finney, and at that particular time when he came to Beaver Falls, the population was 12,000, and half the town, 6,000, were converted. Now, why can't we have that now? We need it. Maybe you're the person that might speak to the right people to get the whole thing going. The Lord has need of you. Amen. Think of that man later when he'd get the glory and realize what he did when he loaned his donkey and colt to the Lord. The Lord has need of you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every person here that you have called and you have been using them. There are others that I am sure that you are calling, because we are in important days. I believe in my spirit we are in the end days. And I heard the pastor say, we are probably that generation, the end time generation. And we can make a tremendous difference. So as we leave this place today, help us to ask the question, am I one of those persons that the Lord has need of? And if we say yes, then let's begin to get prepared for what he has for us to do. So we give you praise for calling us into such a great, great thing as your ministry. And so we give you thanks and praise today. And all the people said, amen. Thank you for the privilege.